Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
How is everybody today?
Well.
Can you hear me?
Maddie, that's Shannon's.
Yeah, I.
Can you hear me, Cassie?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank everybody who's been praying for me. As you know, I was diagnosed in the spring of having prostate cancer. They seem to have caught it early enough. They put me on a hormone. And then they did, I just finished the radiation treatments, and everything seems to be going very well. In fact, the doctor said I have about a 98% chance of being alive 10 years from now. And I said to him, I didn't know I'd live that long. So, anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate all the prayers that you have said for me and given. And I believe the Lord's work is really going on. I'm going to sit today because I still have a little bit of tiredness from all the treatments I've been under. We sang, come, now is the time to worship this morning. Worship your God. Come before your God. Let me ask you a question. Who is your God? I began to think about this topic last fall when I went to a meeting at Augustana College University, and there was a Muslim fellow there who was speaking, and I was speaking to one of the people from one of the other churches who said, we all worship the same God, Allah, whoever that happens to be. And it started me thinking, do we really know who is our God? Do we even know who our God is according to our own scriptures? And so that's what I want to start talking to you about today. And this may well end up being a 2 or 3 part sermon, depending on how far. We're doing a little bit shorter time right now, but although you were very short with the praise and worship, and so maybe I've got more time than I know. I'll see if this thing works. How do you work it?
There's a side. Do you see the side? On the side is a green. There's a little button on the side.
Okay.
Is it that?
It came on green and then went right off.
Okay. Nope, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, you're good. Now point it at the back.
No, this back.
Yeah, sorry. Point it at the front.
In front of me, the back.
You.
Your back is my front.
Yeah.
And we press.
There you go.
Oh. There we go. Okay. So I wanted to start with Barabareshit Waharat's Elohim. I just said what's there in English and Hebrew. In the beginning, God. And in the Hebrew, the word for God is Elohim. Now, Elohim is a very interesting word because it's a plural. And yet Hebrew doesn't know or speak or use the royal we or plural. So what would be happening that would cause the Hebrew people who were writing down what they thought was a revelation coming to God, from God to them, to use a plural at this point? I'm going to leave that thought with you and come back to it later. But this was a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that was in it. And if we go to the end of that passage in Genesis 1, the beginning of Genesis 2, you will know that God looks at this world that he has created and he says it is good. So the creation of the God of creation is a good creation. And then something happens in that process that changes everything. If we go on to Genesis 2, in verse 4 we find that they talk about, these are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created in the day of the Lord God. Now what we have introduced here is is a new term for God in the sense of the word Yahweh. You notice that YHWH does not have any vowels with it. And that's because the Hebrew people believed that the name of God was so sacred that to speak it aloud was to bring damnation upon yourself. Because that we as human beings were not worthy to even speak the name of God. But we have there the word that we often translate as Lord. Now you will notice in the songs we sang and in many places that we talk about the Lord. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Yahweh, the God of all creation, who has a name that is so sacred that it represents God Himself. And so that when we realize our own nature as human beings and how we fall short of the glory that is God's, the Hebrew people themselves felt they could not say it out loud. And they put with the word vowels, YHWH, the vowels of the word Adonai, which means Lord, and therefore we say it as, say, Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on how you want to pronounce it. We don't know how it's actually pronounced because that there's never been vowels put to this word that we know of. Okay? So Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is our God. So who is our God? According to this first part of Genesis, Yahweh is our God. So if I were speaking to a Muslim and a Muslim was to ask me who my God is, I would say, Yahweh is my Allah. Because Allah is a generic term for God, just like Elohim is a generic term for God. So if any Muslim ever asked you who your God is, we wouldn't say God is our God, because that doesn't make sense. But we would say Yahweh is our God, the God of all creation, the God of the heaven who created the heavens and the earth. Now, part of what we want to look at when we look at God is, what is this God like? Who is this God, but what is He like? And so Genesis 3 begins to give us a sense of what the relationship to humankind is with God. God created the heavens and the earth. He created human beings. He created us in the image of God. But then He also created us to have a relationship. Now, I've missed out parts of what's there in Genesis because we don't have time to go into the whole duty. In fact, I could spend several lectures alone just on Genesis 1 to 4. I wrote a paper when I was in seminary on the God of creation as related to the God of creation in other religions of this time. And the God of creation as we have it here is this distinctly different. God speaks and the world comes into being. God speaks and chaos is removed and order is put in its place. Where with the other gods of creation, we have battles taking place and the bodies of these fallen gods become the earth and the heavens and a whole mishmash of different kinds of stories that are there. But the story that we find here in Genesis is very different. And so God creates us. Adam and Eve eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we have this. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But Yahweh Elohim called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" It's not that God wouldn't know where they are. But the man, Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." God created us to have a relationship with him, and man and woman to have a relationship with each other. But then they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden, they know things that they didn't know before. I said to Orly, for this particular thing, I should come up here where my birthday is. And she said they'd all leave. And why is that? Why would we hide ourselves? Why do we clothe ourselves? Why do we see this being that God has created as being less than perfect? It's because we began to think that we should be God ourselves. That it should be what we think, what we say, what we want, that should be that which governs what happens in our world and where we live. And so Yahweh Elohim spoke to the man and said, "Why are you hiding? I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid." So the God of creation, instead of becoming the God who we have a relationship with, is a God that we are foreign to. Remember I said that the name Yahweh doesn't have vowels with it? Because man felt he was so inferior or lacked such a relationship that he could even speak the name of God, let alone be in the presence of God. So when we think of God, how do we think of God? Is God someone we can have a relationship with? Is God someone who would have a relationship with us? I probably could ask each of you what your opinion of that was and get, I don't know, how many people are here, different opinions? Because we all have different ideas. The interesting thing about this statement is if you were to ask a Muslim, could God come and walk in the garden with us as human beings? And they would say, absolutely not. That would be a tremendous heresy. That would be anathema for us to even think about it. And yet I'm using Christian terms. What I should use is that God does not have any relationship with human beings. He only sets about rules for us to try to be good enough to have a relationship with God. But right from the beginning, the God of the Judeo-Christian heritage is a God who says, I have created you to be in relationship with me. And God says, I want to have a relationship with you. Thank you. I've skipped an awful lot of the scripture to go on to another relationship that God once again comes and says to Moses at this point about relationship. When the Lord, and once again, when you have Lord in capital letters like this, this is the word Yahweh. We do this throughout our scriptures because we have taken into practice in our translation that practice of the Hebrew people of not saying the name of God. Yet the word Yahweh appears as YHWH over 3,000 times within the Old Testament. The Hebrew people knew who their God was. They had a name for their God. They just didn't think it was right to speak the name of God. And yet I believe, in my reading of the Old Testament, that God would not only have us learn to speak His name, but learn that in His nature, He wants to have relationship with us. So Moses is walking in the wilderness as after he's escaped from Israel. And he sees a bush burning. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." So once again, God calls to Moses as a representative of the people of Israel. It's God who takes the action to make himself known to and present with human beings. Now, most other religions would say, God would never have done that because he would not descend from his highest of heavens to come and be part or with us. And then God speaks to Moses and said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground." So God wants him to know that this is truly God who's speaking. This is the God of creation, etc. And then he says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now each time we find the word God here is the word Elohim. So the words become used, but remember Elohim is a generic term, where Yahweh is a specific name. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Interesting, isn't it? We talk about when we go beyond this life, we sang about seeing Jesus and being in his presence and all that type of thing in our worship service. We want to see God, right? And we believe from a Christian perspective that Jesus is God. And we believe in the Trinity in that sense. Now that's another, we'll get into that relationship a little later. But Moses hides his face. So we once again get this concept of early peoples saying, the God who we worship is so significant, I'm not even sure what word I can use, so beyond us, so important, so high and lifted up, that we are not worthy to be a part of the presence of God, or in the presence of God. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and ask them, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now this next verse is really, really, really significant. For God said to Moses, I am who I am, or we could translate that, I will be who I will be, or a number of other things. But what it's saying is, I am the God of all creation. When I speak, it happens. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. What does it mean to say that something is? What does it mean to say that something is? Because what we have here, in a sense, is the verb of being.
Yeah.
God is saying, I am all and everything that is. And that's the name that I will be known by throughout all generations. Say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus I am to be remembered through all generations. Yahweh is the Lord God. So when we are asked, who is your God, what do we say? My God is the God of all creation. My God is the God of being and who brings all things into being. My God is, if we pronounce it that way, Yahweh, Jehovah. So when people ask us, who is your God, how do we answer? I wish that we, when we had translated Hebrew and Greek into the scriptures in English, had used these proper names or these proper, we had put actually YHWH, even if we don't know how to pronounce it properly, so that we could see that the God we worship is distinct, is different from all other gods that we may worship. Now, one track that I could have taken when I said, who is your God? I could have talked about things like politics. I could have talked about things like the economy. I could have talked about things like education or philosophy. And all of those things become gods for some people. But that's not who we talk about when we talk about the God who has created everything that is and everything that ever will be. Come, now is the time to worship. Who do you worship? What do you worship? How do you worship? When do you worship? Where do you worship? And if God is the God of being, there is never a time when we don't worship if we truly understand the nature and being of God, living and creating all that is alive. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip forward. Whoops. To the New Testament. Where we begin to get another understanding of who this God is that we worship. Who is my God? And behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, I've touched on a couple of other scriptures where the Old Testament tells us that God creates us in his image. He creates us to be in a relationship. He comes and visits us in the garden and speaks to us. He comes to Moses and talks to him and gives him his name, and then goes on to give him the Ten Commandments and all the rest of that. I mean, we've skipped huge portions. But then he comes again in a new and distinct and phenomenal fashion. Emmanuel, God is with us. We sang about his name being Emmanuel, being Counselor, being Wonderful. So this Yahweh, who is our Elohim, comes to us in the name and person of Jesus, Yeshua. God is with us. I could say a whole bunch more, but if I could, well, maybe I won't say a lot more. I just want you to think about that for a while. I want you to think about what that means if God comes to live amongst us, to be with us, to share himself with us, to give us an understanding of who and what he is. Back in Genesis, one of the verses just close to where I put them on the screen, God creates woman from man. And he says, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. He's talking about a relationship again, that is a relationship that emulates the relationship God expects us to be with him. We are to be the bride of Christ, the people of God. It's interesting. I went through some of the feminist movement in another church that I belonged to at one point, and they keep telling me about how this whole world is a paternal world, and only men have a right relationship, or therefore women are nothing. And I thought, that's interesting. Tell me, When I say, and a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one, what kind of society am I describing? Do you know?
Matriarchal.
It's a matriarchal society. It's the woman.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know much. We passed the Exodus and Moses thing and that, but when the people came out, every year the people of Israel celebrate the Exodus with the Passover. Who is it that starts the Passover feast within the Jewish home? Tell me.
I think it's the woman.
It's the woman. It's the woman who lights the candle and says the first prayer. And the Passover cannot even, the Passover, that which celebrates our freedom from slavery, that which celebrates our coming out of and becoming the people of God, is started by the woman. Now, there's lots of men who have done all kinds of things, but right back at the beginning, when God wants a relationship with us, he says the relationship which he models his relationship with us on is that relationship that the man has with the woman. Now, Paul goes even further and says that the man is the head of the woman in the same way that Christ is the head of the church, in that he gave his life for her. So my position as a man in my household is to be the person who's willing to give my life for my woman, my wife, my companion, my friend. Relationship is what Christ is talking about right from the beginning, what God is talking about right from the beginning. And I'm going to have to end it there, or we'll have the next people descending upon us. But this is a question. Who is your God? What is your God like? What is the relationship you and I have with our God? And we just began to look at the relationship that we, as people, talk about most significantly. How God became a man and dwelt among us and gave us an example of how to live in relationship to each other. And I'll give you one more little verse. And by this will all people know that we are Christ's disciples, God's disciples, in that we love one another. Thank you for your time. May God bless each one of you. May you know his presence as you live day by day. Amen.